Hello and welcome to the Smells Like Infinite Sadness podcast. I'm your host, Michael Taylor. Those of you who don't know, I run the website smellslikeinfinitesadness.com. It's a blog covering the best alternative rock from the 80s and 90s up to present day. I'm a proud middle-aged Gen Xer who is still obsessed with the music of his youth and loves to talk about it. And on today's episode, I'm speaking to Tommy Victor, the founding member, guitarist, and vocalist of New York City-based metal act Prong, who first formed in the mid-80s and are perhaps best known for their hits Snap Your Finger, Snap Your Neck, and Whose Fist Is It Anyway, from the 1994 album Cleansing. Prong are back with their 13th album, State of Emergency, out now on Steam Hammer SPV Records. And on today's podcast, I talked to Tommy about the new album, from its songwriting and recording to working back in his home turf of NYC, the inspiration behind key tracks, plans for touring, the band's legacy, and much more. So take a listen and stick around afterwards. I'll be playing the track Non-Existence off the new album.
First off, I've listened to the new album for the past couple of weeks, State of Emergency. I absolutely love it. This is your 13th album. So did you approach it any differently this time around, or was there any like focus you had on it or anything in particular that was on your mind when you created this record?
Yeah. I wanted it all to be written and recorded in New York or the New York area after my family and I decided that we're moving back here, that I thought that would be cool. And that was pretty much it. It wound up being different where I wrote everything myself and there was no collaboration. And I picked the time frame when to do it, which was something that hasn't been happening for a really long time. Because I had management that were always pushing me into making records at a certain time. And I thought I was rushed a little bit. This time it wasn't that at all. But it took, ironically, it took shorter and it was, we got a lot more work done in a small amount of time. It was a lot more focused than previous records.
What do you think has given Prong such longevity, and how do you see the band now, now versus when you first started off?
It started in 86. How do I feel? I still feel, I can't really find the right adjective or describe it. I don't feel recognized, or I don't feel like we're at a great level. You know, like I it's always been that way. That could just be me. I just don't appreciate where I'm at ever. But I'm just being honest. Like I even when we first got signed to a major label, and even when, you know, we had the successes that we did have, I just didn't think it was, you know, enough, or I thought that we were always fighting. We had a lot of obstacles in our way and, you know, a lot of criticism, and we had a lot of obstacles to our success.
Give me just one. I've got to get this cat
out of my room. I didn't see the cat.
He's being a maniac. So can you get in for me, babe? Thank you. Shut the door behind you.
How old is your daughter?
She will be 8 years old on New Year's Day.
Nice.
New Year's baby. So
that's a good thing, first of the year.
She was the first baby born in Austin in 2016. So
oh wow.
But you know, that leads me to a question too, is that you're I know you've had have an older daughter, but you have two young kids now. Has that changed anything about the way you work, or anything you're focusing on, or your creative process?
It's totally changed everything. As we were talking, I was joking with my wife today that this State of Emergency was written 9 to 5. And she's like, well, maybe that's why you picked Working Man subconsciously on the record. I was like, yeah, I mean, it's like, I didn't even think of that. But like the record was written and worked on from 9 to 5, because I have to bring, well, at that time it was just my son, and bring him to daycare, run back home, set up my gear in his nursery or his bedroom, then break it down, like do Rourke as much as I can, then break it down again because I can't leave it there, and then pick him up, bring him back home, cook dinner if my wife was working in the city, and like cook dinner and clean up and then put him to bed and just do that from Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. So that's a big difference than, you know, working at CBGB's and getting home at 5 in the morning and writing a couple of songs at 6 in the morning and then sleeping all day and, you know, going back to work at 4, you know, so.
Well, you know, you mentioned the Rush cover, and I was really, when I first said you were doing a Rush cover, I was like, what? As I couldn't wrap my head around it. Then I heard it and I was like, oh my God, this is awesome. It's such a great rendition of Working Man. Was that what made you first decide that, you know, that idea first pop into your head, like, let's do a Rush cover?
I think that, like, your interview, like, this will be the first time I make an honest response. And I've done a lot of press on this record, and I don't think I've been completely truthful. We did that Songs from the Black Hole record, which has a lot of eclectic tastes, and, you know, it's like a lot of metal people don't even know half the artists on it. And, you know, the record label, like, they had no clue of what anybody was on it. And why did we make those selections? It's like, you know what? I'd like, if I'm going to do another cover now, it's going to have to be from somebody famous. So, that was one of the requisites of it. And I was going through old records. When I first moved back to New York, I was listening to a lot of like old stuff. So, and that first Rush record was one of them. And I was like, wow, okay, this is cool. And, you know, I was learning some old records, you know, trying to get my chops in gear a little bit from guitar playing wise. And I just started jamming that riff. I was like, well, this is pretty cool. And then, you know, when we were doing pre-production, I laid it on everybody and they were like, well, this is pretty cool. So we just made an arrangement and did it. But I thought that inevitably, then looking at one of the reasons why I agreed to doing what I thought was a good idea was the lyric. Again, I didn't even think about the whole 9 to 5 thing, but like the lyric was more in the vein of where Prong is, where, you know, it's like, stop your finger, snap your neck, like, you know, like just trudging, just grind in order to become happy, you know, for the how much work we do just to get a little bit of happiness out of life, you know. So that was sort of, and then like the dark tone of the lyrics on State of Emergency, where, you know, there's a couple of songs where it's sort of like this agony that's going on. So, yeah, I thought that it worked with it.
I think it's great because to me, the best kind of covers to me are ones where you recognize it, but it has its own flavor to it. And I definitely think that you definitely prongified it, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, I hope people hear it. You know, that's the thing. It's like, you know, there's so many records out, and, you know, that's what I always feel like, you know, the genre we're in, if we're even in a genre, it's just so saturated. And there's just so much stuff going on that sometimes I get, you know, disillusioned. I just hope people hear it. You know, I hope it gets, you know, it gets, I want people to hear the stuff we do. So I was very disappointed with Songs from the Black Hole. We spent a lot of time and energy on that covers record. Like, you know, it was a brutal project to get done, like for no money at all. And it was just, it was painful. And like even Prongfest, they didn't even know the thing's out. They have no idea. Like, it just got absolutely no attention at all. So hopefully, you know, this record gets some kind of, you know, listenership, you know?
Well, that's a shame because I really like that album. I love the Sisters of Mercy cover, in particular.
You know, and it's like, it was a real project too. It was like a real serious project. That thing was it was amazing how much work we put into it for absolutely no return. Like, I mean, guys like you appreciate it, but like, you know, it's bizarre to me. That's why I don't have any faith, that much faith in the rock world these days. It's like, you know, even no matter how much, it's like, you know, like even seeing some of the reviews for Prong and like the way we're treated in the press and, you know, the way, you know, other bands that I don't understand their popularity or are heralded. It's just, that's the same way I felt back in 1986 about stuff. You know, it has never changed.
Well, I think, you know, that you guys have always been the underdog, but it's also why your fans are so hardcore, because everybody's like, you're like the secret you want to tell everybody else about. Like, you guys are like Prong, because there's so many bands that have been inspired by you. And I think what really got me about this new album is just, you sound like a band that's in their 20s. I mean, there's so much, it's so much energy, and there's so much, you know, kind of just rage and anger and all that kind of stuff pouring through it, that I think it's really a solid album. I like it quite a bit.
Thanks. Yeah. We were in good shape for it too. It was like the stars were aligned. Like I always say that, like, I know what records I've been involved with, whether it be Prong or Danzig or Ministry, or I've been in other projects like Idol Park and I don't know, other ones, Teenage Time Killers, and there's a bunch of stuff, other even other stuff that I don't even remember doing. I did studio work, etc. Like, some records is to say you go into a session and just like, this is horrible. Like, this is not going anywhere. You just know it's going to be, it's not right. And it's just, who knows what that is, the je ne sais quoi of that. But this one, it was just like, everything was going right. Like, it was just like, bam, bam. Okay, this, what? Oh, okay. You know, that's the only, it was bizarre. So it's good. That was great.
And this is kind of a homecoming record for you to write, because this is recorded in New York. You've got the song back in NYC. How long have you been away from New York, and what prompted you to return?
Oh my God, I was gone for a really long time. Not that I haven't been back, like, you know, cause I have my family here and stuff, but I haven't been living here. And then, like, you know, that's what I told Ollie from Steamhammer Records. I was like, you know, like I wanted to see what it was like for a while. We moved back to be closer to our family. And then if my wife was able to find a job here, a good one, and it happened. So, I was gone for, I don't know, like 25 years I was living in Los Angeles. So, you know, I love LA. It's a great place. But I think I like New York better now. You know, like, I like things right now. I'm happier here now.
A couple of my favorite tracks, Non-Existence is probably my favorite song on the album. And I know you said that it was kind of like your way of looking back, or kind of a homage to Rude Awakening a little bit, which has always been my favorite Prong record. I've always loved that album. What made you decide to kind of go in that direction, or give a nod towards that song, and how did that one come about?
Well, it's interesting because I have those kind of songs, like riffs or anything like that, that I was working on for the last couple, like 0 days or something, and the producer I was working with, Chris Colley, who's a great producer, great dude, but he doesn't really come from that post-punk thing, you know, like where, like, I'm just so solidly engaged with that era, mainly, you know, like Sisters of Mercy, Killing Joke, that's really where I come from in a lot of ways. So, you know, like a lot of those ideas were always like, like we sort of pushed them aside. The fact that I sat and wrote the whole album myself without even, no one, like, you know, not sending demos to the producer or anything like that, was great, because I could just, like, you know what, like, I know this is Prong. I know this works for Prong. I don't need to run this across anybody in order for them to decide if it belongs on the record. I wrote 10 songs, and I said, that's it. This is the record. Take it or leave it. And now, you know, sometimes you're going to get to the point of being like that. Like I said, like my disillusionment with the music biz and, you know, where rock music is now and where it has a lot to do with it. We're like, you know, I really don't care. You know, it's like, this is all the things that are Prong that people, you know, like, not the fans, but like a lot of people just like, oh, what is this shit? You know, like, you know, like anybody can play this type of mentality, which kids today have. It's like everything's got to be technical, you know, like everything has to be completely technical and perfect. Otherwise, it sucks. And like I'm from like total slop guitar. Like those are my favorite guitar players. Neil Young and like Geordie from Killing Joke. It's not really sloppy, but it's like it's an attitude, you know? No one gets that anymore. So that's why I wanted to make sure I had the attitude, you know, like if I came up with a riff and I'm like, that has the wrong attitude. Like that's, I just know it does. And that's how it made those riffs made it on into songs that immediately emerged into the record, you know?
Well, that leads me to two other tracks, Disconnected and Compliant, both of which I also really like. And Disconnected in particular, I mean, it kind of has that same vein, but it almost has a even more of an alternative kind of sound to it, or even a little bit of a kind of a punk rock vibe to it. Did that one kind of, was that one that came to you early, or when did that come in the process? And didn't those two songs just, did you know they were kind of giving a different vent and just go with it, or?
I have to be honest to say that looking back to the Cleansing album, which is like the most popular Prong album, and the way that thing is sequenced and the way that record runs, you have like it starts out like it smacks you in the head, and then it gets to like the groove songs. And then it starts to get a little weird. So that's how I wanted this record to run like that. That's why we could fit in something like Disconnected. And that's the same thing. What I said about non-existence completely applies to Disconnected, where there's this side of me that is like, you know, it's not necessarily thrash metal. So it's like, you know, I know people say stuff like that. Oh, I'm really like a jazz musician or something. Like, you know, but like, you know, this is definitely a part of me, like that type of stuff. And then, you know, by the time we get through with it, it is pretty, it comes off pretty hard, but, you know, it's again, like, unless you're from that era or have some kind of appreciation for, again, post-punk, which includes like early industrial and goth bands and, you're mainly Killing Joke. You wouldn't really, I don't know if you can completely understand that. Compliant is the same way too. It has like this, you know, it's almost all progressive rock type of vibe in that as well. So they fit in because Cleansing was made. Like if, you know, Terry Date was such a great producer. He was like, you know, oh, whatever you guys want to do. In fact, you know, do more what you want to do, you know, like, this was against everything the label was telling us back then. They're like, you got to do it. We need singles. We need a ballad. We need this. You know, there's nothing on this. They were like, there's nothing that's on this record that's going to go on the radio. And like Terry was like the guy going like, good. He was like, you know, who, you know, like write songs that don't go on the radio. You know, it was like, and we're like, okay, fine. You know, it's like, so, or like we made it weird, you know, wasn't purposeful, but it just worked, you know, it was just for the time it was cool, you know, but, you know, it's the same thing, you know, with the Rude Awakening album. They wanted, I mean, they were Jehovah's crazy. That was like the end for me. I couldn't deal with the way they wanted certain songs on that record. The label, being on a major label, really started infiltrating what we were doing. And, that's why I don't think that record was a complete success at all. That record did not come out the way, I thought that it could have been and the way it should have been. And I hated the mixes on that record, and I didn't like the way it sounded, and I didn't like, there was something seriously wrong with the production on that record. Terry was great on Cleansing, and then Rude Awakening was sort of like, ugh. Like, that's, to me, it was a painful process too.
Oh, I love it. But I understand, like, when you're on the other side of it.
Yeah, no, a lot of people look to that record and they say, oh, wow, this is the beginning of this, that, and the other thing, It could have been huge, but there wasn't, the love went in other directions. It wasn't polished right, correctly.
Well, I think, you're talking about, having that side to you, but you definitely, like, with the Descent and the title track, you're definitely still got your metal bona fides. And I think that, it's some of your most precise playing, to date, and great solo as well in the Descent. Was there anything thematically wise that kind of fed into all these songs or that progression?
I don't play the solo in the Descent. That's Mark Rizzo plays that. So, like, I can't solo that great, like, everyone knows my solos, which are what they are. But no, that one was done by Rizzo. I'm not going to take credit for that. So, I've been working hard on my guitar playing. I mean, I've been playing, a lot in the last couple of years. So with Danzig, as well. And, Prong has done, we did like a huge tour with Black Label Society. It was the first time we did like a 2-month tour in forever. And then, we went right out again with Overkill. So there was like, my chops were like starting to get really, really good at the beginning of, before we move. Actually, yeah, right before we moved back home. So, before I went into writing, it was looking pretty, like I was on top of my game.
We definitely are. And I also was going to say, your guitar tone is still distinctive and sharp as ever. Have you changed that at all over the years, or is it still pretty much the same?
Oh, no, it's changed a lot. Like, I went through a whole little thing of guitar, what I use, and even on the records. And this is the first record that I put I put my foot down. I used my live rig on this record. So, if it works live, I mean, why does it not work in the studio? Like, it's like, I love Collier. We made a couple of good records together, but that was something that we fought about, was, the amps used on, even with Evitz too. He was always pushed for certain stuff. Producers like to use like boutique-y shit, so it's like, they want to tell people they, use this, that, and the other thing. So I get it, I use what I use, and we used that on this record. So
do you think your time, since you've been playing with Danzig for quite a while now, do you think any of that style ever kind of bleeds into Prong, or is that something completely separate and that you really haven't absorbed that as far as into your playing beyond?
I don't know. I mean, it's always a challenge, that gig, for me. And people are like, why? It's like the easiest songs in the world. Like, and I'm like, they're not for me. Like they especially the clean parts, the solos, are always a challenge for me in that band. So, I don't know if it's infiltrated at all. I would say no, but it's like, the fact that I'm playing guitar is what really, you know, it's a muscle that needs to be continually, you know, worked. And, you know, I love the dancing material because it's like the mentality of it is where I'm at, where it's like, you know, like who freaking cares? You know, it's like, you know, like it has this weird space where, you know, like no one really understands when it is. And like, I'm talking about the first three albums. And so, you know, like with Glenn being such a sponge for all this music and like that has come together and made him, and it's such a fantastic thing. And you know, like it's amazing. And you know, that's why I like it. The same thing with Prong, where it's like just this collage of all these styles, and you know, and it comes out like this. So
I wanted to circle back, since I had the cat and the dog making noise in the very first question. I just wanted to kind of re-ask, you know, you've been 13 years into this, you know, from Force Fed to this new album. Do you do you see like a through line from your first album to this album? Do you kind of see like how the band's progressed and what stayed the same? And what do you think is the ultimate kind of legacy of Prong for you as far as how you progressed, but also that same spirit that's still there, even though, you know, obviously you've become much more of an accomplished player over the years?
I think it's finally sort of come together a little bit. I've always been jealous of the AC/DCs and Ramones and, you know, like Creedence, one of my big favorites, where it's like, that's Creedence Clearwater Revival, man. Like, and that's it, you know, and the Ramones, and like, it's like, the, you know, regardless of like some of the records, they always sound like that band, and the consistency. And that's something that Prong didn't really have. I think with this record, it's after all these years, it's finally like, I finally like put it together where it's like, this is what it is, you know? And like, you know, like the formula is finally there, you know? It's like, so that's how I feel about it. Like we were like trying to break ground, experimenting here, doing this, doing that, the other thing, you know, growing our hair, cutting our hair, you know, like wearing crazy clothes, not wearing crazy clothes. It was like this constant thing. Like, what the hell are we doing? Like, you know what I mean? It's like going straight edge, then suddenly then doing drugs. Like, it was like, we never were on a consistent thing. It was like constantly changing. And like, you know, I'm pretty much adverse to that. For a guy that's been in a band that's changed so much, that's like it's very against my character, which is one of the weird things about it. Like, now I don't want to change anymore. Forget it. I'm not trying to break any more ground. You know, I don't want to change. You know, I'm sticking to the same logo, and like that's it. You know, and like this is what Prong is. You know, that's where I've gotten.
Well, I think the album's great. I think State of Emergency is a perfect introduction for people who haven't been exposed to Prong before. And I really do hope that you get some exposure from it. And I'm definitely going to promote it. I reviewed it. I really like it a lot. Any plans for touring? I'm sure you will.
But yeah, we're trying to work that out. We're going to definitely go out in America. We do Europe again for the third time this year in November. And it's crazy, like how you talk about how the band, like we were like nothing for a while, and then now it's popular again. So Europe, it's been great. So then hopefully that shows up in America again the next time we tour. Well, the last two tours we did in America were good, you know, like, so we're trying to get that happening. It's going to happen. There's been things that it's like everything keeps falling through right now. So.
Well, hopefully you'll make it down to Austin sometime soon, and I will be there.
Cool, man. Thank you, bud.
All right. Thanks, Tommy. Thanks for taking the time out to talk to me today. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much for your support. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Take care. You too. Bye-bye. Thanks to Tommy for taking the time out to do the interview. You can buy State of Emergency on your musical platform of choice, and I highly recommend it. As promised, we're closing out with the song Non-Existence. I think you're going to dig it. Stay tuned, because later this week we'll be having an episode with my friend Jack, where we'll be talking about the best horror films to watch for Halloween. And until then, stay safe and stay sane.
Basic Truth.